listen to this. Here's what he said. He said, to my bride, my saints, and my beloved, know this day, no matter your troubles, I've got you covered. Covered by my presence and covered by my provision. I have never left you, nor can I leave the ones that I've lived for, died for, and live to love forevermore. The chains that weigh you down and the gallows erected before you are not the final answer, says your God. I am your deliverer, and I will judge the quick and the dead, which is meaning the living and the dead. And my judgment is fair. My balances are equal. Fear no man this hour, but fear me. Worship me and know, as I was with the children of Israel in their plight and journey, so will I be with you. Remember Lot's wife, and don't look back at what once was, for I will never leave you nor forsake you, even when you think I'm not near. Heavenly Father, thank you for these encouraging words of remembrance as we're reminded throughout your word that you are a good God, that you're always there, a friend that sticks closer than any brother. I ask now that you would hide me behind the shadow of the cross, that no man would remember my name or remember the name of this church, but remember the name that is above every name, because at that name, every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess to your glory. Father, we love you and we welcome you here today. In Jesus' name, everybody everywhere said amen and amen. Very powerful, encouraging words from the Lord this morning. And I was extremely blessed to receive this message because it's a continuation of what he's been speaking to us concerning the rising up of Babylon and the things going on in our lives, but yet the parallel of faith. In other words, while these things are happening and the rising of evil and the rising of the beast system, the rising of all the ills of our society, so is the kingdom. I said, so is the kingdom, and so is the plan of God and the mission and mandate of God for his people. And we must keep that in perspective. And if you'll follow some of the messages, the thread within the messages, you will find that scarlet truth that Jesus is for us and not against us, and that the greater one does abide in us, and that at the end, we win. And that's the incredible thing of Christianity that people can't understand, is because for them, and outside of the covenant of God, they believe that you must always be on top to win. But in the kingdom, it's opposite. Sometimes you got to be at the bottom to win, because that's where your help comes from. It comes from the Lord. And sometimes it's not always when you're on the mountain peak. It's when you're in the valley, you find the rose of Sharon or the lily of the valley. And so it's a very powerful understanding for Christianity. And I think it is very strong for our hour that we hear this message. And the message title that he gave me is, I've got you covered. It's exactly what he told me. He said, I've got you covered. Now, I don't know about you. I don't live in a perfect world. I have issues and problems and circumstances and situations. And I have bills and I pay taxes like you do. Come on, somebody. I have in-laws and outlaws. I have neighbors, and I see people at Walmart like you do. Come on, somebody. In other words, preachers are not angels. We coexist among humanity like you do. And so with both feet on my ground, on the ground, and realizing being married for over 26 years, I come to certain realities that there are challenges in life. Come on, somebody. And the Christian life is not a perfect life, but we serve the perfect one who helps us in our imperfect life. And then one day it's all going to be made perfect. And that's the joy that we have before us. But it is a good thing to know that God has me covered, because I never would have made it without him. I said I never would have made it without him. I'm not smart enough. I'm not strong enough. I don't have enough money and resources. I don't have enough ability within myself to make it, and neither do you. So I've got you covered. And what's very powerful about this message, I'm going to give you the scripture in just a minute, is Judah was in the same situation. Israel was in the same situation when they were being threatened. They were being threatened by the king of Assyria. And I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 37. Isaiah chapter 37. And I'll give you a little bit of a backdrop, but the king of Assyria sent Rabshakeh. He sent Rabshakeh, which was just a title, not a name, but Rabshakeh means a general or a field commander. He sent Rabshakeh to Judah to talk to them and try to appease them and bring forth some type of an arrangement of what they were about to do to them. They were going to destroy Jerusalem. They had already gone through and destroyed all the other places surrounding about. They've conquered, as I read to you some history, Syria and the northern kingdom of Israel. They devastated the countryside and the fortified cities of Judah. Everything seemed to be falling apart around King Hezekiah. You ever had a day like that when your entire life seems as though it's falling apart, and things you thought were strong and firm and fortified in your life, next thing you look, there's a breach and you're pushing something to hold that hole from piercing through and busting down the dam, if you will, that you spent so much time trying to build. You ever been there? Like putting a piece of bubble gum there and hoping it holds. They were in that situation, and the only thing that remained in the control of Hezekiah was Jerusalem. The only thing left. And the Assyrians had conquered all around them, and they were going to destroy them. And these were desperate times for King Hezekiah. And so the king of Assyria had got himself ready to invade and to destroy, and he brought the message to them. So we go to Isaiah chapter 37, verse 1. Now we can begin, because now we see just a little bit of a history. They have their backs against the wall. Verse 1, and it came to pass, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. Now, as you look at this in the beginning, you say, okay, this is a great start for King Hezekiah. He realizes and recognizes that he's in trouble, that Jerusalem is going to be invaded and to be destroyed. There's no other fortified cities. There's no other way out. I'm holding camp the best that I possibly can. I'm doing all I can with my garrison that is left, my armies that are left. I have all but a little bit of faith, and I am going to now go to the house of the Lord. Sounds good, doesn't it? And he sent Eliakim, which that would be one of his chief peoples, and he sent him out there. And he sent them to speak concerning this situation. And I'll give you the totality of that, but a backdrop is this. He had already sent out ambassadors in chapter 36. He sent them out to appease and to receive peace back from them, but they insulted them. Listen to this now. They insulted them and said, "We're not going to give you peace, but we're going to destroy Jerusalem and we're going to cause you to fall back. We're going to destroy you." In fact, in chapter 36, verse 12, if you'll turn there, look at what is said. Isaiah 36, verse 12, and I will just quote it for you. I'll give you the Ben Faircloth translation. Is that all right? He said, "Yeah, I'm sent here." This is that field commander. He says, "I'm sent here to what? Fight you? To deal with you? Those of you that sit upon the wall? The ones that are going to eat their own dung and drink their own piss?" Listen to me now. Let me give you my translation. "I'm going to make you eat poo and drink your pee." Now see, some people get mad at me right there, but it's in the King James. You know, the version that you worship. Listen to me. What I'm trying to bring out in the beginning, I know this is a shocker, and it's for a reason, is that they wanted to bring peace to the Assyrians, and the Assyrians insulted them to the point that says, "You eat your own dung, you drink your own urine, because we are going to destroy you. We're not afraid of you. We're causing you to shake in your own boots, and there ain't anything you can do about it." Now, I don't know about you, but that is a tremendous insult. If we did it in today's vernacular, you couldn't even say it. It's in all your favorite movies, you know, stuff you watch, all your sitcoms. Come on, somebody. But here is the deal, Lucille. It is a prophetic example and a parallel of what's happening to the church today, with us being afraid of the enemy, with us being afraid to go out to the streets and go out to missions and do what we need to do and try to live and survive and thrive. We're afraid and we're allowing the enemy to tell us to eat our own dung. You just go off and be fearful. You just go off and hide because we're going to destroy you. It's exactly what's happening today with the church when people gaze into the crystal ball of the YouTube world and the media platforms, and they listen to the doom and the gloom, and they listen to the witches and the wizards and the warlocks telling them that all hell is going to break loose and you're going to die. I'm going to tell you right now, all hell is breaking loose, but you will live and declare the blessings of the Lord. You will live and preach this gospel to the nations of the earth. You will live and fulfill what God's called you to do. You will live and fulfill your mission, your mandate, and your assignment. And the devil can't take you out unless God says, "Come on." And we've got to get that boldness back in us instead of being like those warriors on the wall worrying about what this guy had to say. Think about it for a minute. What an insult. What an insult. What if somebody came up to you and said that about you? Are you here today? But that's exactly what's being said to the church. Won't you eat your crud and shut your mouth? Won't you just hang at the house? Why don't you just hang in your house in your dirty diapers? Why don't you just hang? Why don't you just not do anything? Why don't you just hide in a hole? Well, I'm preaching better than you're looking at me. Why don't you get up and do some, clean yourself up, clean off that mess, change that diaper, and go out there and do something for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Instead of hiding in your playpen. I'm telling you, I got you covered. The Lord said, "I've got you covered. I've got you covered. With God, you get bumper to bumper coverage. Somebody, from head to toe, he's got you covered. These men insulted the children of Israel. They insulted God's people and they insulted God. But yet Hezekiah, he now goes in verse 1 and he says, I'm going to go to the house of the Lord after sending these men prior and being rejected and cursed at. And by the way, the proper word is excrement. Is that how you pronounce it? Excrement or something of that nature? I can just hear somebody say, oh my gosh, I can't believe he just said that. He should have used the word, go to the loo and what? And excrement it? Hey, I just excremented. Come on, people, help me out, church. See if you can all get all mad and all fussy and mussy about everything. But the reality is, this is the Bible. This is what was said. I think God's too much for some people. When you meet him, you're going to freak out. You're going to be like, I didn't know that. He is hilarious. He put that in there. And then we try to clean it up. No, that's not what it means. It means poo. I know somebody's going to write me. Someone gets so mad. Instead of understanding the insult and exactly the parallel of what's happening, they're telling us, the enemy is telling this by shutting up your churches and lockdown and don't do this, don't go here, don't say this, don't sing that. Don't do this, don't do constant, just shut your mouth. And the church has obeyed. And the church has listened. And the church has abided by the rules of the devil. And I believe God is shaking the church in 22, telling us to get up, get out of your mess, and go do what I've told you to do. Because the time is short, time is ticking, and life is short for you too. Well, I'm afraid of, this can't happen. On and on it goes. Now watch this. And he took him. He said, go out there and I want you to take whoever's in the household and Shebna the scribe and all the elders of the priests covered with sackcloth. And what did they do? They went unto Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. Here's the problem. They should have went to the prophet first. As soon as that devil started cursing them and talking street junk, they should have got up and went to the man of God, to the prophet, and repeated exactly what was said to them and said, look at how they're threatening me and threatening you and cursing the name of Jehovah and cursing the great city and cursing the king and cursing the covenant. So when we read this, a lot of preachers, they make it seem as though King Hezekiah had done something great. He actually did it out of order. That's the problem. This is the problem with the church. We try to do everything on our own strength, even on our own faith. We can't do it on either. We must do it in faith in God and trust in him and say, God, this is insurmountable. This is impossible. This is too incredible for us. But oh God, all things are possible for those who believe, because all things are possible for our God. And we believe in you today. We believe in the truth. But they didn't do that. But now they're getting themselves in order. In verse 3, and they said unto him, Thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and of blasphemy. For the children are come to the birth, and there is no strength to bring forth. Look what it says. It is a time of trouble, a time of blasphemy. What are we living in today? A time of trouble, a time of blasphemy, a time of the rising of paganism and perversion. And he says here that the children are brought forth, but they can't come forth. They don't have the strength. In other words, it's like a child that is in the womb of a mother, but of itself cannot come forth out of the canal. It cannot birth itself, for it does not have the ability. And Hezekiah recognizes that and realizes that, and he prays this prayer and he says, God, we're right there. We're right there at destruction. If that child is not delivered, the child dies. Oh God, if we're not delivered and Jerusalem is destroyed, we die. And so does the covenant, and so does the promise, and so does the law, and so does your great name and the fame thereof. Oh God, you must give birth to this. I believe this is a powerful, powerful example for you and I that we must stand on this day in 2022 and say, God, we don't have the strength within our abilities and our own lives, but God, help us give birth to this mighty move of your Spirit. Help us give birth to this final harvest. Help us give birth to what you're trying to do in these last days for a great awakening and a mighty restoration of your truth and of your word, oh God, and of your Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and holiness and righteousness. Oh God, help us give birth to what you want in these last days and not to be fearful and die in the womb. Many are dying in the womb today. Many churches are dying in the womb. You're right at the place of birth, but you're fearful. You're fearful by what people are telling you and what you're listening to. It's not just those upon the YouTube channels and that world. It's also what you listen to in the news and what you read and what you hear when you go down the road and listen to the news and talk radio. You better watch out for talk radio and talking heads. I want to talk to the head. Not talking bobbleheads who have an opinion and a script and who are told what they're supposed to say on their radio stations. Aren't you glad the Bible's uncensored? I said, aren't you glad the Bible is uncensored? It's raw, baby. It's raw 100% truth. I love it. I love God. I love his word. He's right there in your face. He will tell you the way it is and love you at the same time. All this propaganda we're being hit with. All these lies and deceptions trying to spade and neuter us and keep us weak. I'm going to be nice. Make us weak. That's all I'm going to say. Keeping us from our abilities. We're greater. We're greater with the greater one than we recognize and realize. We're stronger. We're stronger as a people. I'm not talking about scaling some city wall and taking over some type of governmental powers. I'm talking about using the powers of the government, which is upon his shoulders, Emmanuel. I'm talking about the kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Don't need your sticks and stones. All I need is faith in God and follow the compass of prophecy, and it'll lead me to the New Jerusalem. Wish I had somebody help me today. It's a reality. And he said unto them, unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, this is the day of trouble and of rebuke. They're rebuking us. That's exactly what it is. They're rebuking us. How dare that man get up there and say these things, this field commander, this general of the armies of the Syrians, and tell these people to do what he just told him to do. Why don't you just eat dirt? See, we allow the insults for too long. Listen to me, church. We've allowed the insults of the enemy for too long. For us to not go out and witness and not to share our faith is evidence that we have cowered down and we're allowing the enemy to kick dirt in our face. We've allowed the propaganda of the CDC and all the other entities that are out there that are pumping fear. I'm not talking about godly fear of using wisdom and having caution and doing the right thing and having discernment. I'm talking about fear that is designed to paralyze you. There is nothing in this book, there's nothing coming to the church or all the earth that should ever paralyze the church with fear. Nothing. It's not written there. He has always commanded us to be strong in the power of his might. He's always taught us in his word to march forward no matter what it is. It doesn't make a difference. He has always taught us this. But we've listened to our witches and warlocks who have scared the faith out of us. Let me try that one more time. They have literally scared the faith out of the church to where the church no longer has faith. It has fear.
That's right.
So how do you know that? Because faith overcomes. Faith is always marching. Faith is always producing. Faith always speaks truth. Faith doesn't allow the enemy to creep in and take over. You don't get a spot at the table. Fear allows the enemy to come in. Watch this now. He said to come forth in birth. There's not enough strength to bring it forth. Can't do it, Lord. Can't do this thing on our own. Can't make this thing happen, Lord, without your strength. Again, I believe that the beginning of the next great revival will begin with intercessory prayer of giving birth. It won't happen any other way. It's not going to take a meteor to land on your forehead or Mork and Mindy to show up in your backyard, nanu nanu, in a flying saucer. If it takes you to do that, then your faith is shallow. Faith doesn't come by events. Faith cometh by what? The word, and by the hearing of the word. That's how faith comes. Not by nuclear bombs or Putin threatening everybody. And on it goes. But if you listen to all these brainiacs out there, theologians, they'll tell you that's how we're going to do this thing. No, we're going to do it by faith in God and his word. I'm not waiting for the blob or the green monsters to come in order for my faith to be activated and pray. I'm praying now, and I'm asking God to help us give birth. So intercessory prayer is the beginning of the opening of the womb, if you will, of the things of the Spirit, the portal, if you will, of the blessings of God. And when we pray, things happen. And when we intercede, God hears. Study revival through history, and you'll always find out that the very ignition was prayer. Not some fancy preacher with a talking monkey or some type of pixel dust, gold teeth, or stones from heaven, they say. Some of y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. Others have no idea what I'm talking about, but I don't have time to elaborate. Verse 4, that it may be the Lord thy God will hear the words of Rabshakeh. Now notice this, Isaiah's got a little bit of faith, or Hezekiah's got a little faith here as he's going to speak this to Isaiah. But he said it might be that the Lord's going to hear this dude. So if I were grading King Hezekiah, he gets an attaboy for praying. But then I'm going to give him a thumbs down for the fact that he's worried that God's going to listen to the enemy. But sometimes we do get in that position where we falter in our faith, we teeter, we go back and forth in our faith, we're not really sure, and that is exactly where the church is. I don't know if God's going to deliver us through this pandemic or not. I don't really know. We all could be dead by tomorrow. You know people are like that. I know people on YouTube right now. You say you harp on YouTube. Well, I mean, what else is there? They-tube? I mean, you know, it's probably the most watched in any media platform on the planet. Sorry. It's the way it is. But if you listen to them, they'll leave you with the, I hope to see you tomorrow. Maybe. I end this broadcast, you know, maybe tomorrow. And it's like, what are you talking about, man? He said, look, I don't know, man. Maybe God's going to listen to the enemy. And we're exactly the same way. We're like, well, I don't know if we're going to make this through this. I don't know if we're going to make it through 22. I don't know if we're going to get through the this or we're going to get through that. I just don't know if God's going to show up. I don't know if he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And these are supposed to be Christians and people you follow. I'm not following anybody who don't give me faith. I'm not following anybody that throws fear in my face. I'm not going to follow anybody that can't show me in the word truth. I'm not following you. I'm not listening to you. La, 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 la. I'm not listening to you. Just like a little five-year-old. Stop, I'm not listening to you. You ought to do the same. But it's easier. Just go click. Delete it. And then people write to me and say, what do you think about this video? What do you think about this? Sometimes I respond, sometimes I don't. Because I just don't want to hurt their feelings. I want to blow them out of the water. I want to say there ain't an ounce of faith in that at all. And this is the problem. King Hezekiah, he did the right thing. He prayed the prayer. He's going to go to the prophet. But he's like, I don't know. Maybe God will listen to the devil. You know I'm telling you the truth. People act this way all the time. And you got to get it out of your mouth. You got to get it out of your vocabulary. You got to get it out of the cycle of your thinking. I'm talking to somebody. I know that I am. Stop it. Speak the word of God. If he healed you once, he'll heal you again. He's the same yesterday, today, forevermore. Well, what if I die? You're healed. Well, that's not reassuring. Oh, going to heaven's not reassuring. You say that's a cop-out? No. If that's the way God wants to heal you, fine. If he wants to take you to the knife, that's fine. Whatever he wants to do, he will fulfill his word. But we can't have mixed faith. We can't have fear and faith and fear and faith and faith and fear and try to take salt water and fresh water. It's lukewarm. It's brackish. You ever had brackish water? Is this okay? I'm trying to tell you, the Lord spoke to me today and he said, I've got you covered. I don't know who needs it today. I need it. I'm covered. You're covered. We're covered under the wings of the mighty God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You may be covered by Medicare, and that's okay. But I'm covered by Jesus. And too young for Medicare. Come on, somebody. Somebody help me. I don't even have a life alert. Regardless of what Judah said to me the other day, I was playing the Wii. I got to take a little break here so you can just calm down. I've been playing the Wii and I kind of hit the chair a little bit, stumbled. He said, life alert, help me, I've fallen down. And I'm like, dude. I'm like, is that how you view me, man? It was very funny, very clever. He gets his jokes from his dad. Watch this. I gave you enough time to chill out. So he says, Lord, I'm afraid here that he might hear it, whom the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore, lift up thy prayer for the remnant that is left. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, and Isaiah said unto him, thus saith ye unto your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words that thou hast heard. Listen to me. Be not afraid of the words thou hast heard. Be not afraid of the words thou hast heard. You need to write that down somewhere that you won't forget it. Do not be afraid of the words thou hast heard. It doesn't matter if it comes from the president. It doesn't matter if it comes from a health organization. It doesn't matter if it comes from your doctor. It doesn't matter if it comes from this person or that person. It doesn't matter if it's not in faith. Don't listen to those words. Thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of those words thou hast heard. In other words, they may be truthful words in the sense that they are reality. See, Christianity and faith is not to deny reality. That's where you make the mistake. We deny reality and say, it's not raining, it's not raining, it's not raining. And you standing outside and it's raining. That's denial. Besides a little bit of insanity. Come on, somebody, which makes up a vast population of church folk who have super hyper faith and don't live in the real world. I live in the real world. I get ouchies. I have pains. I deal with stuff. I have a mirror. I'm fully aware of the changes and gravity. And other things. Somebody here, ladies, like, and men don't get the equipment to boost. Oh, let me move on. I'm digging a hole, Flo. Help me out now. Flo, this is where you tap dance. Start singing a song. Where's the banjo? You know what I'm talking about. We don't have makeup to paint the barn. It is what it is. Whew, got out of that one, I think, until the letters come. Where was I? I was somewhere in the Bible. But he said, don't listen to the words you've heard. Wherewith the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Here's the deal. God is saying, don't worry, church. Don't worry what they're saying against you. Don't worry what they're saying around you. Don't worry of Babylon rising. Don't worry about trying to figure out who the Antichrist is and this and that and all that goes on in prophecy world and prophecy land like it's an amusement park. They're coming against me. If they're messing with you, they're messing with me. And everything that's happening to us right now as a church, as a people, as Christians, as saints, as the beloved, as the bride, it is happening against us, but it is more against God because the devil hates God and he hates you. And we are the apple of God's eye, and he's going to do everything he can to poke his bony little finger, his crooked finger, in the eye of God. And though we feel the brunt of it and with repercussions and it hurts us, at the end of the day, this is nothing. It will be nothing compared to the bliss. It'll be nothing compared to all the suffering that we go through and the afflictions and the fights. It will pale into insignificance when we stand before the throne of God. And God gets the last laugh. What a day. I could just see the best of my imagination, him throwing back his head and laughing, and the entire heavens rumble. The Bible says that about the devil, doesn't it? That men who have feared him will look at him and say, that's it? That's what tormented the nations? Are you serious? Compared to God? See, we got to get that faith again. That's fearless faith. I said that's fearless faith. Verse 7, behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor. Some say in translations, the blast is an angel. He shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. And so he gives him a prophecy, a warning. So Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libnah. For he had heard he was departed from the Kish And he heard say concerning Tekariah, the king of Ethiopia, he's come forth to make war with thee. And when he heard it, he sent messengers to Hezekiah, saying, thus shall you speak to Hezekiah, the king of Judah, saying, let not thy God, in whom thou trustest, deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Again, here is the enemy lying to the church, lying to King Hezekiah, lying to us today, saying that God is not going to deliver us. God's not going to make it. Oh, by the time you reach 2020, you're going to be dead. By the year 2022, so many multiplied millions are going to be dead. So many are going to be damned. No sense in preaching anymore because they took the jab and they're all going to hell. So don't preach anymore to them. You'll know because they glow in the dark and you'll tell who has it. They're the ones that have magnets on their arms and set off the security alarms when they go out of Target and Walmart. Some people know exactly what I'm talking about. Some people are scratching their head. I'm sorry, I cannot bring you up to date this fast. And every time it came out, I said, nope. I was like Dr. No. N-O. Because it's no. I will not give in to that fear. Though there are certain realities that we are facing, and man is always inaccurate because he's imperfect, even in medicine, and on it goes. The reality is, these false prophecies did not and will not come to pass. And what they did is they paralyzed the church. And the people that believed them and followed them. And by the way, their followers, their numbers have gone up so high. I don't check things often, but I see people that I know that are in deception. Their numbers are rising of people following their tribe because they like it. And if that's what you like, then have at it. Enjoy your meal. Is anybody here? But I would rather dine on faith and truth than on sensationalism, clicks, and followers. Watch this now. And so he hears this. He comes back. He tells them, you know, I'm deceiving. You're listening to God. You're being deceived. Verse 11, behold, thou hast heard that the kings of Assyria have done all to all the lands by destroying them utterly, and thou shalt be delivered. In other words, here it is. Here's the fear, injecting fear. Anytime you hear your enemy, I don't care who it is and where it comes from, when you hear your enemy saying that you will never recover, you will never make it from this, you better know it's a lie, and you better speak to it and rebuke it. Because God doesn't talk that way. If God is finished with you, then the next thing you'll know, you'll be in his presence. That's all you need to know. He don't taunt you. He don't play around with words. He doesn't threaten you those ways. I'm talking about the saint now. I'm talking about someone who loves God and is just trying to serve him with all their hearts. I know there are so many Christians listening to me right now who are taunted and haunted by the enemy for words they hear. God doesn't talk to you that way. He loves you. He loves you. Perfect love casts out just a little bit of fear. All fear. There is no fear in love. Wish I had somebody that believed that with me today. Watch this. Have the gods of the nation delivered them what their fathers have destroyed? And he goes on and mentions them all. Verse 13. Where is the king of Hamath and the king of Ephrod and the king of the city of Zephirim and Hanah and Ivah? Where are these? Where are these gods? They couldn't protect. They couldn't provide. Again, that's what's happening today, being scared. Being scared by people, being fearful. You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. The boogeyman's going to get you. You're not going to make it. Don't go there. You're not going to make it. This happened years and years ago when there was a tremendous push for missions. I remember God was calling people to go to certain countries of the world. One of them was Africa. He was calling on people to go to Africa, and then the witches would get up, the warlocks and all of your nice fellows, if you will, would stand up and preach and say, no, if you go there, you're going to die. Voodoo's going to get you. They eat you over there. Come on, somebody. And then you have people who believe in it and say, oh, I can't go there because I don't want to die. Are you here? And then you have people who go over there and have great success and great harvest because they obeyed God. I'm going to obey God today. I'm not going to be fearful. I will use wisdom and I will use discernment, but I'm not going to be fearful. And so they're telling about all the boogeymans. And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord. Now Hezekiah is getting it right. Watch this now. Sometimes your faith needs adjustment. This is where I believe we are. Let me try this again. This is where I believe the church is right now, is we're getting a faith adjustment. Not your face, but your faith. You can't do nothing about your face. You're on your own there. You and Botox. But I can do something about your faith. And that's what the whole Ezra project is. That's the whole mission and mandate and assignment, what God has me on, is trying to bring the church back to purity. Purity of worship. Purity of expression. Purity of confession. Purity of faith in God. This is what you have to do. And Hezekiah, watch this. He went into the house of the Lord and he spread it before the Lord. I love this. I can't tell you how many times I've received a threatening letter, or I received a threatening bill, or I received something very threatening in my life, and I've laid it down before the Lord and laid on top of it and prayed. Say, I can't lay down on it. Then put your foot on it. Put something on whatever's threatening you and present it to the Lord. I'm telling you, that is a word for somebody to be delivered. I don't care if it's a doctor's report or what it is. Put it down before God. Spread it out and say, Lord, here it is. Every jot, every tittle, every I, every T that is crossed. Here it is. Here's what they said about me. Because in essence, they're talking about me. Well, what if you are the one that did it? Lord, I did do it. Forgive me of it. Help me out of it. He's a good God. Oh, he's a good God. You'll pay the price you need to pay. God will take care of that. But repentance is the key to soften the blow. I wish I had somebody help me. And how do you not, how you don't know if God in that day excuses you completely. He is a just God. I feel good this morning, don't you? I've got you covered. You need to know that. You need to write this down somewhere on your refrigerator. I've got you covered. He laid it before the Lord, and Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, saying, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwellest between the cherubims. Now he's getting covenantal. Now he's getting royal. Now he's getting into the majesty of an almighty God. You sit between the cherubs. Thou art God, even thou alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Incline thy ear, O Lord, and hear. Open thine eyes, O Lord, and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which hath What has he done? Sent to reproach the living God. Now, if you look at the word there, reproach in the Hebrew, it means to strip off and to expose. In other words, this devil, this king of Assyria, has reproached God, has stripped off his majesty, has stripped off his royalty and who he is, and being the great God of Israel and the defender and the deliverer thereof. And he exposed him to the people and to the world and says, he's no God. He's like all these other gods that I have destroyed. And Hezekiah got it. He understood it. He said, Lord, they're reproving and they're rebuking you. We've got to turn this thing around in 22. We've got to turn this whole thing around. We got to say, Lord, they're trying to stop you. They're not trying to stop me from having a hamburger somewhere. Now I'm going to preach. That was my introduction. The church has cried more for the cucumbers of Egypt and wanting to dine out and wanting to go here and go to the movie theater and all these different things than to recognize and realize that that the enemy has been a reproach to God and has rebuked God and has offended him. You got to recognize and realize this ain't your life. This is God's life in us. This is the church's final hour. And any hindrance to the church is a hindrance to God. And God will not be hindered. But he needs the church. And I'm telling you, it's high time the church gets up and does something for him in this hour. You say, well, my get up and gone's already gone. Listen, let the Lord use you in any possible way. It doesn't matter. Like I've said 1,000 times, take tracts and just litter the community. Just don't put them on a cop car with our name on it. Please. And don't put it in mailboxes. That's illegal. I'm going to say you got to give a list. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't eat bugs and don't eat bats. Y'all don't know VeggieTales? Oh, all the kids are like, rock on, Pastor Ben, rock on. The older ones are like, what? He's so weird. Watch this. I try to relate to everybody. Came against him. This is the word of the Lord. Watch this. Verse 18. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations and their countries. Notice King Hezekiah was in reality. It's all what we've been saying the whole time. We're fully aware of the pandemic. We're fully aware of what's happening. We're fully aware of the detrimental things that medications can do. I don't care. It can even be aspirin. There's so many different things. I mean, man is imperfect, trying to make a perfect life out of imperfect things, which is impossible. Thank you, somebody. Thank you. Try to not give you cavities so we inject your brains full of fluoride. So when you die, your brain glows, but you still got two teeth. Maybe. Do you understand what I'm telling you? Drink this health drink and then find out there's like 600 milligrams of sugar in it. But you're not constipated anymore. But now you have diabetes. Use this hairspray that has alcohol inside of it, though you don't drink, that rots your brain, and then your hair falls out because alcohol dries the follicles. But you look good till you have no more hair. Is anybody here? Isn't it ridiculous? Do everything by prayer and fasting. Do everything by faith. Because if you really were to microcosm everything, you would be like Howie Mandel. Flo, help me. You know what I'm talking about. Mr. Freak, man, everything he can't go nowhere. Oh man, y'all. You know it's the truth. Wow. Is the absolute truth. Where was I? Verse 20. That sounds good. Now therefore, O Lord, our God, save us. Save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the world may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only. What I was telling you, I didn't miss my place. I was telling you, Hezekiah, he got it right. He got it right. He realized the reality of what was happening around him. He knew that the king of Assyria had done these things. We know these things are bad. We know death is happening. We know there's do's and don'ts. We get it. We got it. But how long do we stay in the cocoon of fear? How long do we stay in that womb and say no one can deliver us, when that is not true? We have a deliverer. We have a great physician who still makes house calls, who's a friend that sits closer than any brother. And King Hezekiah, he had that reality. Verse 21, then Isaiah, the son of Amos, sent unto Hezekiah, saying, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, whereas thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, this is the word of the Lord spoken concerning him. The virgin of the daughter of Zion has despised thee and laughed thee to scorn. Do you see what he's saying? The virgin of the daughter of Zion hath despised thee and laughed thee to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem hath shaken her head at thee. God is saying that my children will laugh at you. My children will shake their head and say, mm-mm-mm-mm. Listen again, one more time with hearing ears. This is a response from God to Hezekiah. You tell Hezekiah that he's going to laugh. My people are going to laugh. This is what I want told back to that king as well. My people will laugh. Whom thou hast reproached and blasphemed, and against whom thou hast exalted thy voice and lifted up the eyes on high, even against the Holy One of Israel, by thy servants hast thou reproached the Lord, and hast said, by the multitude of thy chariots, of my chariots come up to the height of the mountains, and the sides of Lebanon I will cut down all the cedars thereof, and the choice fir trees thereof. Verse 25, I have digged, and I drunk water with the sole of my feet. Verse 26, hast thou not heard long ago how I have done it, and of ancient times that I have formed it? Now have I brought it to pass that thou shouldest be to lay waste defended cities into ruinous heaps. Therefore, their inhabitants were of small power. They were dismayed and confounded. They were as the grass of the field and the green herb, and as the grass of the housetops, and the corn blasted before it had grown up. But I know thy abode, and thy going out, and thy coming in, and the rage against me. Because thy rage against me and thy tumult is come up into my ears, therefore will I put my hook in thy nose, and my bridle in thy lips, and I will turn thee back by the way which thou camest. The Lord says, I'm going to deal with you, king of Assyria. I'm going to deal with the enemies of Jerusalem. And the Lord is telling he's going to deal with our enemies as well. Finally, in verse 30, and this shall be the sign unto thee, who? To King Hezekiah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. You shall eat this year such as groweth of itself, and of the second year that which springeth of the same. And in the third year you shall sow, reap, and plant vineyards, and eat the fruit thereof. What did he tell them? In 3 years you will live. You will prosper. He said, settle it. Deal with the threatenings, because I will deal with the one who is threatening you. Go ahead and live your life. Plant. Do exactly what I've told you to do, because I've got you covered. That is my word for you today. Live your life. Live it by faith. Fearless faith. get up and do something wonderful for God, whatever He's told you to do. And know this, no matter what is said against you, He's got you covered. If you're watching me today and you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, this can't apply to you. You're not covered. But you can be covered today by His blood and by His grace. You just got to accept Jesus Christ into your heart. You got to ask forgiveness for your sins. Whatever they are, you know exactly. Repent of them and He'll come and be your Lord. If you're backslidden, today's the day to make it right. If you've been fearful, today's the day to get out of fear and get into faith and let God cover you with His amazing grace. He loves you. He has a tremendous plan for all of us. Father, thank You for this message today. We know that You have us covered, for Your word declares it, and we believe it. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, I love you. I will see you Wednesday for Revelation Road. Go out and do something great for God.